Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson sitting in here on a Tuesday for our regular host, Cy Kellett. Cy is still under the weather, so keep him in your prayers if you would, and we'll hope to welcome him back very soon. I am blessed to be spending I think I'm blessed to be spending 2 full hours with Tim Staples. It is an open forum today. Tim, welcome to the show.
No, I'm the one who's blessed to be with Dave Matheson. It's great to be with you, brother.
Good answer, Tim. Good answer. So we talked yesterday a little bit about some of the projects that that you've been working on, particularly travel. Travel has come back.
Yes.
What else is taking your time?
Yeah, right now I'm excited about a CASA course, a new CASA course, which
School of Apologetics.
Yeah, yep. That's the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics on the Eucharist. And you know, it's amazing, Dave, is doing research and such and diving in here. I've been at this a long time as a professional apologist.
How long have you been at this, Tim?
Professionally, we're talking about 27 years. But apologetic-wise, more like 33 years. Intensely studying apologetics, and you still learn more. You know, when you dive in to write a book, or in this case, write a CASA course, it's exciting because there really is no limit to the depth of the wonders of our Catholic faith.
Sure enough. And you have the audio talk, I believe it's on shop.catholic.com, Living Bread?
Yes.
I believe?
Yeah. In fact, I'm stealing a lot from that for the CASA course and for the book. Yeah, Living Bread is a series of 4 presentations I did on the Eucharist, and it is available at Catholic, what is it?
Shop.catholic.com.
Shop.catholic.com. Yes, and it's called Living Bread.
Very good. 888-318-7884 is the number to call, 888-31-TRUTH. And before we get to calls, I just want to give a quick shout out to Drew Belsky and his wife, Tori.
Yes.
So Drew is our content editor for Catholic.com. He edits Catholic Answers Magazine online. He and his wife, Tori, welcome, let me get the name straight, welcome Demetrius Hilarion Belsky, just around noontime Eastern time today. And what a blessing. Another member of the Catholic Answers family.
I tell you,
welcome, Demetrius.
We take seriously Genesis chapter 1 and the first commandment of God to humanity. Be fruitful and multiply. There's babies galore in this place. Isn't it awesome?
It is an awesome thing. It is a beautiful thing. Wonderful to welcome another member of the Belsky family for sure. Tim, if you're ready, why don't we get right to some calls here?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we've got on line one, we've got Mimi from Los Angeles, California, watching on YouTube. Mimi, ask your question of Tim Staples, please.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You bet.
Thanks. I would just want to talk about faith and how it's supposed to be applied in Hebrews 11, because, you know, they give the examples of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his son and Noah building the ark before it started to rain. So in today's world, I'm just trying to find out how to apply that, because it doesn't seem like faith is supposed to be an easy thing, that it's really difficult. Like, it would be difficult for me not to seek for medical care if I'm sick. That would be an act of faith for me to just trust God. And because that would be, I see that as an equivalent to what Abraham was doing when he was willing to sacrifice his son.
Right.
And also when Noah was doing all that work to build the ark. So how am I supposed to apply this faith?
Right. Sure. That great question. I think one caveat would be that we as Catholic Christians understand, and I think this is the biblical as well, that it's not a matter of either or, either going to the doctor or applying faith, because faith is required in both. In fact, Jesus would tell even the ones he healed to go show yourself to the priests or even to the physicians and such. So we believe that God heals supernaturally, miraculously at times. In fact, we have a sacrament that's really good at that, in the anointing of the sick. So we believe in supernatural healing like that, but we also believe that God is the author of healing even when it's applied through the hands of physicians. So it's not a matter of either or, really, it's both and. But I think what you do in that situation, let's say God says to you, or you believe God has said, you are healed of whatever the malady might be, get your tail to the doctor and give glory to God. I'll give you an example. My father was years ago healed. He had, in fact, no cartilage left in his right knee and was just a, if mom's listening right now, I think it was a week or a couple of weeks away from knee replacement surgery. And he actually had a stroke. It's kind of a long story. If you want to hear the whole story, I have it on a CD set called Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. It's a 3-CD set where I tell my story of conversion and then my whole family's, because as many of you know, my mother, father, 3 brothers, 2 sisters, all they all ended up becoming Catholic. And I tell this story of my father's healing, but my father had no cartilage left. He had a stroke. He was in the hospital. My brother anointed him. My brother is a priest, Father Terry. You know, Dave, he's the guy that wanted to cast demons out of me when I converted to Catholic. Now he's a priest casting demons out of others. But
God is good.
But at any rate, my dad, when my brother anointed him and they prayed to Padre Pio that night in the hospital, the next day, my father was not only healed, he had no symptoms left of having had a stroke the day before. There were no scarring on the brain. Everything was gone. And God just did an added bonus that nobody even asked for, gave him a brand new knee. In fact, the Jewish female doctor examined him and was absolutely shocked because she knew he had no cartilage, and now he's got the cartilage of a 15-year-old. But see, my dad was, you know, all of this happened in the context of doctors going to the doctor, being with the doctor, and my gosh, what a glorious testimony it became for this Jewish female doctor to see that our Lord and God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is in the healing business. So when we're talking about, you know, stepping out in faith like Moses, like Abraham, and all of these great men of faith, every day of our lives, we step out in faith in so many different ways, like going to the doctor and saying, you know, I believe I'm healed. And my dad did that. He said to this doctor, I believe God healed me. And she thought he was crazy until she examined him, right? So that is stepping out in faith. It's also stepping out in faith when you speak up in a world that is growingly more antagonistic against us as Christians and especially as Catholics, man. That is an act of faith every day, standing up in the public square. I mean, it becomes an act of faith just to make the sign of the cross before you eat at the restaurant or a McDonald's or something nowadays, depending upon where you live. I'm serious. You know, you just wear the wrong hat or say the wrong words, and sometimes it can get dangerous out here. So in all that we do as Catholic Christians, we must step out in faith. That is central. And I believe that's the message of Hebrews chapter 11 that begins, as you know, in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, and then we have all of those examples. And that is an encouragement, and more than an encouragement, it's actually a challenge to us to take that step of faith wherever we are. We can never be ashamed of our Christianity and of our Catholicism. We must stand proud, proclaim it, and when we do, God will bless us in ways we cannot imagine.
How's that, Mimi?
That's great, but it just seems that when you're talking about going to the doctor as an act of faith, mm-hmm. Is equivalent to it just doesn't seem like it's difficult enough, because the examples show a level of like a challenge to rationality. I mean, who is willing to sacrifice their child?
Right.
That's not rational.
Sure. Okay.
And it's not rational.
Okay. Well, let me jump in there.
That's not rational to build an ark.
Right.
It's not rational to build an ark before it starts to rain. So that's what I'm trying to ask you.
Right.
Or how that doesn't add up to me.
Sure. It's not that it's irrational. It's not irrational to build an ark when God tells you to do it. There's nothing contrary to reason about that because God is the God of miracles. He's the God of nature, of course. And so, you know, is anything too hard for him? Of course not. But I think perhaps we're underestimating the power of the testimony. I'll go back to my father who says to she was Jewish, but I'm not so sure she believed in God. But let's say to a Jewish doctor, I believe God healed me, right? That is a powerful testimony. And of course, then the doctor examines and finds out. So be careful when you use the word irrational, okay? Now, when it comes to Abraham, we know that Abraham believed he knew that God is the author of life and death. And remember, we're talking about a different dispensation in the Old Testament. This was a time when revelation was ongoing, and God often used his agents to communicate life and death in a way that he would not, and in fact, I would argue he could not in the new covenant dispensation. In other words, if God, quote unquote, were to tell you, I want you to go up on a hill and kill your child, you could say to, quote unquote, God, get thee behind me, Satan, right? Because that's not God, because we have the fullness of the revelation in the new covenant that tells us it is never acceptable in any circumstance whatsoever to kill an innocent human being. But we're talking about a different dispensation in the Old Testament. Abraham knew he is an agent of God, and so it is God who is taking that life through him. Again, I emphasize, God does not do that in the new covenant. There are lots of things that God allowed, permitted in the Old Testament. He doesn't even, I mean, we could talk about many, but John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 kind of puts the smack down on stoning adulteresses and adulterers, right? Jesus pretty much puts an end to that as well. But the bottom line is, Abraham, when he goes up on that mountain, notice he has faith so radical that Hebrews 11, the very text you're talking about, would say that he believed God was able to raise his son from the dead. That's an awesome revelation there, because he knew God was in charge and God was going to bring something good out of this, no matter what it looked like on the surface. So he had reason to obey God in the context in which God called him. And I want to toss out, because we could go through every example here in the Old Testament in Hebrews 11, and not one of them was ever irrational. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, St. Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? Some translations will say religious duty. The Greek word is actually logike, as Cardinal Ratzinger points out beautifully in a book called Eschatology. Logike is where we get the word logical. This is your reasonable, logical worship. It's latreion in Greek. So we're talking about worship, and all of our acts toward God are always reasonable. Now, it doesn't mean we're rationalists, right? We can't reason to the Trinity, but there's nothing about the Trinity that's irrational, and there's nothing that God ever calls us to do that is irrational. Yes, he calls us to step out in faith because we may not understand what's going on here. We don't know the end of the book. We're in the middle of the book, in the middle of the movie, and sometimes we just have to trust God. But we have to know God never asks us to do anything that's contrary to reason, that is, in the sense of being irrational.
We're going to leave it there, Mimi. Thank you for your call today. A very important question. We're going to take a break, and when we come right back, we're going to have Aaron, Jerry, and Jim, and your call, 888-318-7884.
Call and ask Tim your question today on Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Pope Francis sends a message ahead of World Youth Day. Consumed by lava, a Spanish church falls victim to a volcano. Protecting life, Republicans push back against Democrats who want to expand abortion.
Clear, concise, Catholic. EWTN News Nightly, Monday night, 9 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live here on a Tuesday afternoon. We are in the midst of an open forum with Tim Staples. But before we get back to calls, and we've got several calls up on the docket there, I want to let you know we've got a store-wide sale going at shop.catholic.com. New specials are popping up all the time. But right now, today, we are kicking off our three-day digital mega sale. All e-books, e-magazines, MP3 audio files, $1, $3, $5. No digital product on the shop is over $5, Tim. And you know what else? All of the other products on the shop are on sale too. Everything store-wide, 10 to 25% off and more. Don't miss out. Visit shop.catholic.com today. Load up on your digital files, your ebooks, your emacs, and MP3s during this digital mega sale.
Awesome, man. You know, if we had our druthers, we'd give everything away. But, you know, we do have to, like, pay for all this stuff, don't
yeah,
we
do. But we do give a lot away. I mean, you think about all of the content on Catholic.com. Every bit of that is free. It's articles by you. It's articles by other folks.
Oh, yeah. Man, I mean, it's literally tens of thousands of pages.
It really is.
Of free information at Catholic.com, which is the second most visited Catholic website in the world. So check it out, Catholic.com.
Indeed. Let's get right back to calls because we do have a full list up there. We're going to go to Aaron in Hastings, Michigan. Aaron, what's your question on line two for Tim Staples?
I was wondering, how in the world can you believe in evolution and the Big Bang and still remain Catholic when the scriptures say God created the world in 7 days?
Right. It's a great question, Aaron. And first of all, the Catholic Church does teach, you are correct, you are permitted as a Catholic. In fact, famously, Pope Pius XII, in his great encyclical letter, Humani Generis, makes clear that evolution can be held within specific parameters. For example, we have two original parents. God is the creator of all things, right? The soul is directly and immediately created by God. The human body did not evolve over time. The human body became a body when God breathed the soul into it. Now, that body itself may well, and it does appear, was formed over time. Even in the second creation story in Genesis 2, right? God formed Adam out of the slime. Well, we believe God could form him out of the slime, or he could form him out of pre-existing organic matter. God can do it any way he wills to do it. So you're correct, Aaron. We can believe that, for example, the human body, though it became a human body only at the infusion of the soul, how God chose to form it, that's up to God. And so we as Catholics remain open to science. And when science presents evidence here, and it looks like some pretty good compelling evidence, for example, for the older nature of the universe itself and so forth, you know, the church accepts truth no matter where truth comes from, okay? And so when you talk about, for example, the days of creation, Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 337 talks about how that those days and other aspects of the early chapters of Genesis are symbolic. And it appears that the inspired author himself or themselves didn't intend those chapters to be taken in a strict literal sense as 7 24-hour periods of time, because as you know, Aaron, the sun wasn't created till the fourth day. You need a sun if you're going to have days and nights and such, as we understand days and nights. So both from a magisterial perspective, from the perspective of the biblical text itself, it seems that the openness the church has to a sort of a belief in evolution, as long as it is theistic in nature, understanding that without God, it is absurd and impossible to posit creation at all. Yes, you can hold to that, you know, an evolutionary process. But I also need to say, Aaron, the church is also permitting Catholics to hold to a more literal understanding of these texts. You're not tossed out of the church, for example, if you don't buy into what I just mentioned. So even though the church is certainly moving in that direction, you have Pius XII, you have the Catechism, as I mentioned, you know what I say, Aaron, is Catholics need to get involved in the scientific field. And we are, and we always have been. But dive in there, because I believe a lot of aspects of evolutionary theory, and by the way, there is no single evolutionary theory. There are many theories, and some of them tend toward the absurd. Some are very, very solidly scientifically based, but I believe, Dave, we as Catholics, our children should be getting into science. Get in there and cause headaches, man. Ask questions. Don't just accept things because it's the status quo. We need to be like the Father George Lemaitre, who get in there and make contributions scientifically, and also call folks on the carpet when they attempt to go beyond the parameters of science, you know, and start claiming absurd things like, you know, we have a theory of everything that excludes God. And of course, that's not science. That goes beyond the parameters of science, because science ultimately has to look at stuff and measure stuff. When you start talking about, you know, a theory of everything, you're going beyond the stuff that is the domain of science. You're getting into the realm of philosophy and theology. So, Aaron, that's what I encourage folks to do. Get involved in the science and be open, because truth is truth. As James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So when we start to see scientific evidence for particular things that go beyond just hypotheses, but these become even more than theories, hey, we say, praise God, because truth is truth.
And Tim, you mentioned Father Lemaitre, who was the scientist behind the Big Bang Theory himself. Yeah. But then you go back even to Gregor Mendel,
yes,
who was a Catholic monk.
That's right, the father of genetics. You know, it's awesome. Copernicus was a Catholic priest. I mean, absolutely brilliant, who really stepped out to our earlier caller, right, and really calling into question geocentrism and coming up with a heliocentristic understanding. Now, granted, you know, in those instances of Copernicus and later Galileo, who was also absolutely brilliant. Of course, he went a little bit too far, became somewhat of a jerk about it. But hey, you know, an absolutely brilliant man. The bottom line is the church is always slow. She allows the discussion to go on. Because remember, Copernicus was 70 years before Galileo, had already presented a heliocentric theory of what they thought was the universe back then, but our solar system, right? And the bottom line is, both sides were wrong, right? The church didn't come down on one side or the other, but allowed the scientific inquiry to move forward. And what do we find out a few centuries later? Well, the sun's not the center of the universe either, right? The earth isn't. The sun isn't. In fact, we've got this tiny little sun in the middle of a massive galaxy, in the middle of hundreds of billions of galaxies, and we don't even know the number of them out there. So, you know, that's why the church opens the door to science and says, welcome into the church. Pope Benedict XVI, when he became pope, one of the first things he did, he had a symposium at the Vatican on creation versus evolution. He invited atheists as well as Catholic philosophers and theologians to come and hear all sides and all points of view. Man, that's what I love about the Catholic faith. We are lovers of truth.
And faith and reason.
Amen, brother.
Right? And science is very much ingrained, as you said, in the history of the Catholic faith and how it's evolved over time.
Amen, brother.
Very good. All right, we are we're getting close to our break here. Before we go to break here at the bottom of the hour, I do want to ask you, have you signed up for Society 315 yet? If you have not, join 1,700, that's right, 1,700 of your fellow Catholic Answer supporters and become a monthly donor. $10 a month is all it takes. Go to CASociety315.com, CASociety315.com. We are just halfway through the first hour, the first of 2 hours of Open Forum with Tim Staples. We'll be back right after this.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Tomorrow on More to Life, blowing things up.
Are you or is someone you know struggling with anger? We'll help you get past the explosions and find the path to peace.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson sitting in for Cy Kellett. We hope to have Cy back very soon. I am the development director here at Catholic Answers. My team and I are responsible for fundraising, for making sure that Tim gets a paycheck every couple weeks.
I like that.
Tim's got a large family, so he needs all he can get. We know all about that. But welcome back to the show. We are in the midst of the first hour of two with Tim Staples. Open forum going on all afternoon today on Catholic Answers Live. I did want to mention one more note about Society 315. This is our monthly givers club. 1,700 folks now in the club and growing quickly. The Catholic Answers Conference was a tremendous success just, less than 2 weeks ago, Tim.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It was awesome.
It was a wonderful time. If you did or did not have a chance to come to this year's conference, we are offering Society 315 members a special discount looking ahead to the 2022 conference. You can actually, if you join Society 315 at CASociety315.com today, you're going to get a special code which will allow you for $70 off per ticket to the 2022 conference. So join today. An email is going to be going out here in the next couple of days. If you're already a member of Society 315, you'll be getting that email with that special code as well, looking ahead to the 2022 conference. Many great speakers are going to be at that conference. Bishop Paprocki of Springfield, Illinois,
awesome,
is our Episcopal representative, if you will, there. He will be our keynote speaker. So we're already looking forward to 2022.
Absolutely. And you couldn't have a better topic, huh?
Oh, yeah. How about
the Eucharist?
Lo, I am with you always.
Amen.
A conference on the Eucharist. All right. And why don't we get back to calls, Tim? We'll go to line three, Jerry in Shelton, Connecticut. Jerry's listening on Veritas Catholic Radio. Jerry, what's your question for Tim Staples?
My question is about, we just had the St. Vincent de Paul Day, and I work in a Catholic hospital, and I put up a poster of his incorruptible body in a glass case. Is that because, my question is, did he die in a state of grace? Is that why? Is there other, I know there's saints under like a glass or so forth and so on, and uncorruptible.
Yes.
But is there proof of other people other than Catholic saints that are, their bodies just fell asleep?
Great question, Jerry. And you do have examples, Hindus and such, who claim incorruptibles. But when you dive deeper, you see that the incorruptibles, such as St. Catherine Laboure, St. Bernadette Subaru, these incorruptibles are not even in the same ballpark with some of the claims made in the East from Hindus and such. In fact, the Hindus are the only ones that I've actually looked into and seen. They have some that are claimed to be incorruptible, but when you look into them, they're not. They don't have, for example, you know, the cartilaginous fingers, right? Like St. Catherine Laboure and St. Bernadette. St. Catherine is extraordinary in that her eyes still have the eye color. Her hair is perfect. There are a lot of bald folks that I know personally that would love to have St. Catherine's hair right now. And she's been dead for, you know, a couple hundred years. So we're talking about, again, blood with St. Catherine. And also St. Bernadette. If you cut their fingers, they will bleed. There is no natural explanation for this level of preservation, and there are others. But I recommend to folks to look a little bit deeper at St. Bernadette and St. Catherine, and you will get the sense that, yeah, there's something going on here. And there's really a second part to your question, and that is this. Why does God do this? And we believe it is a sign of holiness, as you mentioned. They died in a state of grace, absolutely, but we believe, and the evidence seems to show, that God chooses men and women of heroic virtue to be signs to this world of the relationship between holiness and corruption. Think about this, brother. In Acts 16, verse 10, you know, there is a connection made between, I'm sorry, that's not 16:10. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 16. When Peter is preaching, he preaches about Christ and the resurrection. And it's interesting how he used the psalm, which says that, again, this is in Acts chapter 2, and actually I think it's repeated by St. Paul as well later in the book of Acts. But he uses this argument from Psalms, which says, thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to suffer corruption. Hence, he says, Jesus could not remain in the grave. Because of his perfect holiness, he was raised from the dead. Well, that argument is also applied to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because she was free from all sin, it's reasonable that she would be assumed. But in this case of the incorruptibles, we have something else going on, that God shows the relationship between holiness and corruption once again outside of the Godhead, right? The incarnation of our Blessed Lord, outside of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the two most extraordinary humans that have ever walked the earth. But now in the lives of the saints, we see, as it were, the grace of God incarnate outside of the Godhead, outside of the special calling and grace of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in members of the body of Christ closer to you and me, Dave. And there's something so exciting about that, that they are exemplifying this heroic, extraordinary virtue that leads to incorruptibility. And I'll mention this last thing, because we could talk all day on this. But you look at some of the incorruptibles, and there seems to be levels. And God seems to be showing us some things, important things, about the nature of holiness. Catherine of Siena, for example, who I've been blessed to see a couple of times when I traveled to Siena. You see, her head is corrupt. Actually, her body is too, but it's in different locations. That's another story. The head, the thumb, the body. Anyway, but the point is, you see on her head, there's corruption around her lips. Mm. And it's believed the reason is because she had very bad teeth in her life, so that when she would talk and such, she would often cover her mouth. So just a little bit of vanity there, right? You know, nothing mortal, of course, but it seems anyway that that's a little sign of even among the saints. There were imperfections. They were made saints. So it's a beautiful study to look at the incorruptibles. And I recommend the book, The Incorruptibles, by Joanne Carol Cruz. She does a great job of documenting the various corruptibles all around the world and such, and also bringing out some of these details that show there's all manner of revelations, if you will, going on here from these extraordinary examples, like I said, that are really, I think, instruments of evangelization for an unbelieving world. Show them. Go to see Saint Bernadette in Nevers, France, and tell me there's not something extraordinary going on. Go to the Rue de Bac and take a look at Saint Catherine Laboure and tell me there's not something supernatural going on there. But then we also have messages to we as Catholics as well through the Saint Catherine of Siena's and other levels of incorruptibles as well. All I can say is our God is awesome. He communicates his truth to us in every which way but loose.
Indeed. Thank you so much for your call, Jerry. We're going to keep moving here. We've got a full docket of calls here. In fact, let's go to Jim on line four. Jim's calling from Indianapolis. He's listening on EWTN.com. Jim, what is your question for Tim Staples?
Hello.
Hi there.
Well, I'm curious why we'll have bodies if we don't need to eat and we won't be procreating. Why will we have bodies after the resurrection?
Right. It's a great question. And it is because that involves the substance of what a human being is. God willed to create us as a hylomorphic being, that is, a body-soul composite. As St. Thomas Aquinas points out, in the hierarchy of being, you have God, who is pure spirit. The angels, who by nature are closer to God than we are, at least by nature, because they too are pure spirits. And then you have the animals that are, that is, the lower animals on the earth, that are beneath us. But we humans, in the hierarchy of being, are the one being that is kind of an amalgam between both the spiritual and the material order. So we have a glorious role to play in showing how God created these lower forms of being, be they the animals beneath us or most especially man, who by nature is far beneath the glory of the angels. And yet God, in his mercy and in his love, he didn't become an angel, right? He became man. And through the incarnation, taking upon himself human nature, which includes a human body. And the glory of glories, my friend, Pope St. Leo the Great, at the Council of Chalcedon, declared that, you know, Jesus is consubstantialis, right? Consubstantial with the Father and consubstantial with us. That union of divine and human natures in the one person of Christ is a substantial union that is something to meditate upon for all, in other words, for all eternity. God will be the God-man in the second person of the Blessed Trinity, showing us the dignity of human nature and, yes, the human body that God willed to take upon himself, and through that incarnation to exalt human nature even above the angels. Oh, you know, many believe that's the reason why Satan fell from grace, if you will, is because God showed him, all the angels, his plan to do just this. And the devil said, non serviam, I will not serve. I'm not going to have these little squirmy creatures exalted above me, right? That just goes to show you God's love for his creation. He willed to create us as we are, and he has a destiny for us in our human nature and our human bodies that is so far more glorious than anything we can imagine, that St. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And there's more we could talk about here, my brother, but maybe we can send something. I did a CD set. It's a series of talks on eschatology, the four last things, where I go into a lot of detail on this, the nature of our resurrected bodies. We don't have time to do that here, but do you think we could send this to this caller? Because, brother, I guarantee you, we're going to send you, if you have a CD player, but we'll send you out a series of talks I did. And when I get into this topic of the glory of the resurrected human body, you will see in a glorious way why we're going to have our bodies. It's our nature as human beings, absolutely. But God has entered in, and as a result, he is going to exalt us in a way that, my goodness, if everybody knew this, outside of these four walls and outside of the Catholic Church, they'd be streaming into the church because it's truly awesome what awaits us.
Jim, hang on the line. We will send you that CD set, and that is on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
Yes.
Get that right,
yes, it's
Tim?
Called Last Call.
Last Call
death,
is the name
judgment,
of the set.
Yeah, the subtitle is Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell. It's Last Call, Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell. It's basically an exposition on the last things.
All right, Jim, hang on in our call screener. Sarah will take your information to get that out to you. We're about headed to our final break of the first hour. Before we do, I'm not going to ask Tim this. I'm going to ask myself and our listeners, what do you know about the Book of Enoch? What do you know about blood miracles, the Dead Sea Scrolls? Well, you can get answers to your questions on these topics and more in our brand new free ebook, Mysteries and Miracles. How do you get that free ebook? Well, go to shop.catholic.com, look for the bar at the top of the page, and you can click that bar at the top to sign up. It's called Mysteries and Miracles, your free ebook at shop.catholic.com. We'll be right back to finish up this first hour with Tim Staples, but hang on, we've got another second hour with Tim as well. Be right back.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the greatest defenders of Christ's divinity.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
When Athanasius of Alexandria fought against the Arian heresy that questioned the divinity of Christ, he once condemned the Arians as opposers of Christ who had dug a pit of ungodliness. It was said of him, Athanasius contra mundum, Athanasius against the world, but for Christ. He died in 373.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, the first of 2 hours to open forum with Tim Staples. Today, I am David Matheson. I'm the Director of Development here at Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. We hope to have Cy back very soon. In the meantime, I am happy, pleased, blessed to spend these 2 hours with you. And of course, being seated next to Tim Staples, it doesn't get any better than that.
Well, thank you, man.
Well, maybe it does. Awesome, but...
And you know what? Yes. We both have wives, right? Come on now.
Right now that I think about it.
It gets much better.
You know what I mean, Tim.
Yes, but it really is a blessing to have you. You do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, come on, folks. Does this man have a radio voice or what? All right?
Stop. I appreciate it. We've got too many callers on the line to be talking about this stuff, Tim.
Yes,
let's go to Joseph in Buffalo, New York on line 5. Joseph is listening on SiriusXM channel. Channel 130 EWTN. Joseph, what's your question for Tim?
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Doing
thank
great.
You.
So my question is about the recent Tradiciones Custodes.
Yes.
Especially, I understand that new priests being ordained have to receive full permission from Rome and from their bishop to
correct.
Celebrate the 1962 Mass. However, I'm wondering, seeing that no new parishes can be created, how would a newly ordained priests go about trying to establish, say, like a Sunday Latin Mass along with their Novus Ordo Mass or vice versa with that?
Right. Well, Joseph, it really is as simple as asking his bishop. And that is, you know, and that really is the answer for so many things with priests. And I wish all priests would hear that. You do nothing apart from the bishop. And Pope Francis, thanks be to God, has made a way. There is an avenue for folks to say, and you're right, there is an indication that Pope Francis has an end in mind of a diminishment of the use of the 62 Missal. But we are a long way from that. And I believe obedience to the bishop. Well, look, if you love the 1962 Missal, you obey your bishop. And if God wills the 1962 Missal to continue to be said, guess what? It's going to continue to be said. But you can never disobey. Disobedience. And I know folks will say, well, but look, Bishop Lefebvre disobeyed. And look, he... No, you still have the SSPX, which has no canonical standing in the church, my friends. Disobedience is never the way to go. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And especially now where Pope Francis has given us an avenue, and he's given a lot of freedom to the bishops. And I happen to know personally a number of bishops who are being very free with permitting the 1962 Missal to continue to be said. So obedience, obedience, obedience. Ask for permission and let God do his work.
Joseph, I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you, Tim, for that answer. And we're going to keep moving along here. We're getting close to the top of the hour here. If we don't get to you in this first hour, hang on the line. We're going to be getting to Patrick and Bob and others who call in. 888-318-7884 is the number to call. Let's go to Sean on line one. Sean's in Port Perry, California. He's listening on Amazon Alexa. Sean, what is your question for Tim?
That's actually Port Perry, Canada.
I okay. saw CA, call screener.
Not part of the United States quite yet.
Not yet.
Port Perry, Canada. Well, welcome to the show, Sean. We appreciate your call from up north.
That's the bad news. The good news is I'm a member of Society 315.
Yes.
All right.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
I wanted to ask Tim.
Yes.
There are any number of books by apologists on specific aspects of the Catholic faith, whether it be the Holy Eucharist or the Blessed Virgin Mary, the issue that started the Reformation, which is justification.
Yes.
I have looked in vain for decades for a succinct Catholic explanation of what justification consists of. All I ever seem to find is Jesus died for our sins and Protestants misunderstand how that works, and that's all I know.
Okay, well, let me recommend one to you right off the bat here. It's by our own Jimmy Akin, and it's called The Drama of Salvation. Jimmy nails it to the wall, my friend. He will show you things that will blow your mind in there. In fact, when I first read that book, I learned a thing or three from my colleague, Jimmy Akin. Excellent book. It's an exposition on the topic of justification. But also, I also encourage folks, please go to the Council of Trent. If you want to have a definitive exposition on justification, there's a whole session. It's called Session 6 from the Council of Trent. You talk about nailing it to the wall. Jimmy refers to it constantly in his book, but just brilliantly lays out and also corrects the errors of not just Luther and Calvin, but other contemporary Protestants that aren't quite as well known, and errors of the day, other errors of the day as well. So you get a wonderful exposition on justification. Now, you also at the Council of Trent, you know, I'd recommend going to Session 5 and reading on original sin, because there it gets into baptism in a little deeper way than does Session 6. So there are other things that play in. Session 13 on sacraments, the sacrament of the Eucharist in particular, there in Session 13, and Session 22 as well on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because I think it's important, and let me explain this. There was a dialogue between Lutherans and Catholics on justification, and it went on for many years. And there were some positive things that happened, but it was really on a very small aspect, the initial grace of justification. Didn't get into post-conversion, the role of sacraments, ongoing justification, final justification. None of that was even touched in that document. Well, you go to the Council of Trent, and it nails all of it. And also, Jimmy's book, The Drama of Salvation.
Sean, I hope that's helpful. Tim, you've got a couple of resources that you like to go to in particular, especially when you're looking at historical documents of the church. What are your favorites?
Yeah, well, I also like certain fathers and doctors of the church. Well, I shouldn't say fathers because they predate this, although they're still applicable, to be sure.
Sure.
But someone like St. Francis de Sales in his Catholic Controversies is absolutely masterful. And he, in particular, goes after the Calvinists, the particular errors of Calvinism. One might argue that the documents at Trent were kind of weighted against Luther because he was the head honcho, so to speak, of the Reformation. Calvin is there and responded to, but I think St. Francis de Sales does a phenomenal job on that as well. But if you get into the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you have some of the most succinct expositions on justification, salvation. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, look at the section right around 2000 down to 2010 on grace and cooperation in justification. And that whole surrounding section there in the Catechism of the Catholic Church is absolutely phenomenal, succinct, theologically cogent, and folks can actually understand it.
and if they can't quite understand it, well, here's Tim Staples here to help you decipher it.
And I would toss out as well, I have a CD set for those who love. Now, by the way, you can get all these CD sets we mentioned by digital download, right, as well?
Absolutely.
Dave.
Yep. In fact, they're on sale right now.
They are right now. But I have a series called Sword of the Spirit, where I tackle the six most important topics of the Reformation, and I give you definitive responses. And one whole section of that, which is about an hour and 15 minutes long, deals with justification, salvation. So that's another avenue you can go. And at Catholic Answers, man, you go to our website at Catholic.com and type in justification, and you're going to get a boatload of sources, both free and some that you can purchase.
Very good. Sean, thank you for calling from Canada. We love our friends up there, and hopefully that answer was helpful to you. We've got another hour with Tim Staples coming up. Tim, thank you for a great first hour, and thank you for the callers that had some great questions. We've got Patrick, Bob, Greg, Russell coming up. There are two lines open for you if you want to call in. and we'll be happy to answer your question as well. But a second hour of open forum coming up with Tim Staples, 888-318-7884. Again, that is 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back after this.
Praise God.